We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
I hate saying CEO-y things because this is like the pitch answer, but I was truly surprised with how desperate people were to disconnect and recharge. And I'll try to add some meat on the bone by saying that wasn't our genius. Like, we didn't start the company saying this is all about balance, this is about wellness, this is about experience. We had some of that. We had some intuition that said, yeah, we don't really think we don't want to use Wi-Fi at Getaway. But also, we had no idea how to provide it anyway. And so we had to spin the negative of there's no Wi-Fi in this place as a positive. And it was surprising how guests kind of played that back as thank you for not having Wi-Fi. And when I turned the last corner, my cell phone bars went down to 1. And that was an amazing feeling. So that surprised us in a very happy way that allowed us to kind of double down on those instincts that were inside of us, but we hadn't fully put words to yet.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. For today's episode, I'm turning over the microphone over to my colleague and friend, Sarah Rand.
Thank you, Bill. As someone who lives in the city but loves nature, I can appreciate that sometimes you just need to get away from it all. And that's something today's guest, John Staff, understands well. John is the founder of the company Getaway, which offers customers an experience to unwind in tiny cabins secluded in nature. For today's episode, I'm very happy to be joined by my co-host and colleague and friend, Jen Overstreet. Jen.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you?
Great. I'm really excited to talk to John today. And I'm excited to be at Retail's big show
here in New York City. Yeah, we're
in New York.
Yeah. I don't know. There's still people coming in the door.
There's a lot of people still coming.
Thousands and thousands and thousands. John, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Doing You're a great. Local. You didn't have to come far.
That's true. I came to the subway, today. But that can take as long as coming from D.C. sometimes.
John, what exactly is Getaway?
Getaway puts these tiny cabins in the woods, 2 hours outside of major cities, and rents them out to folks by the night so they can have more balance in their lives. So it's all about a little less work, a little less leisure, a little less city, a little more nature, a little less screen time, a little bit more me time, family and friends time.
So tell me, like, what's in the cabin? If I were to book it, what is
it? So if you were to go to one right now, you'd go about 2 hours from here. Since we're in New York, that'd be in the Catskills. You would pull up alongside your tiny cabin. They're all named after our grandparents, so you might pull up next to the Lorraine, which was my grandma.
A shower and like,
you open the door. We text you a key code. You get in. There's a bathroom, a shower, a kitchenette.
A hot shower. Okay, I'm done. I'm good.
There's some playing cards, a s'mores kit, a stack of books, big queen bed underneath a big window that looks into the forest. There'll be a little table. On top of the table will be a cell phone lockbox. So you'll open that up, put your phone inside, close the lid, and hopefully not
like
open it again. Until you leave Getaway.
Who keeps the key to the lockbox?
So it's on the honor system. So we set you up for success, but you've got to stick with us to disconnect and recharge.
Mm-hmm. So this is you've really thought through the whole experience. It's not just like an Airbnb, for lack of a better comparison.
Yeah, from day one, we've said that what we're trying to do is give people more balance in their lives. And that takes a lot of details and a lot of different forms. So it is not just a bed in the woods, because we can all imagine how that would go wrong and add stress to our lives and add discomfort to our lives. So we've always thought of the thing we sell as kind of the moment you hear about us or the moment you book us until you get home. So of course that includes this tiny cabin that we obsess over the design of and what's inside, but also the playlists we just give you to listen to in the car on the way there, the road games for the way home, the handwritten note that you arrive to when you check in, of course, the linens. We try to get you to do nothing. And we really challenge people. My marketing team hates that I say this, but it's like, be bored. We're trying to sell the idea of boredom. Because boredom is bad, but if you push through it, these amazing things happen. And, you know, these thoughts come to the front of our brains that are sort of suppressed, and we become more creative. So we try really hard to get people to actually do nothing. But if you can't do nothing, there is an activity book that says, okay, here's some things we're okay with you doing. Here's a map of the stars. Look for the constellations. Here's a list of deep questions to ask your travel companions, stuff like that.
not only have you put a ton of thought into the design and the experience, but it sounds like you guys are constantly innovating on your own design. How does that work?
Well, one of the things, I'm kind of a Silicon Valley skeptic, but I have adopted wholeheartedly the sort of, you know, launch fast, take feedback and iterate often approach. So we have almost 100 of these cabins now, and they've almost been built one by one. And in between each build, we've gotten a lot of feedback from of course, ourselves and our front lines team, but most importantly from our customers, our guests, who since day one, every one of them receives an email from me after their stay that says, how does it go? You know, just tell us everything, basically. And all of that feedback, we get a huge reply rate to that, like 65, 70% reply rate. And fortunately, people say usually something like, we liked it, we loved it, we had a great time. But then they go on to say, since you asked, here's a couple of things you can do better or do more or something I'd love to see. And so that has been our fuel for the last almost 4 years to improve the experience, which in the beginning was, we liked it, we loved it. We had no electricity and no hot water. Now all these things went like truly wrong because, you know, we weren't hospitality people or hotel people or real estate people when we started this company. So almost everything you could mess up, we messed up. But fortunately, we were able to correct all those things really quickly. And now it's, you know, to, you know, you could have another coat hook in the bathroom or something like that. But this really has been fueled by feedback from our guests. And I just gave some examples about the physical product. But the thing that's been really powerful to me is, I just pitched you on, we're providing balance in more people's lives. And the team and I, try to do little BS tests once in a while. It's like, is this for real? Or is it, you know, or do we just want it to be true? Yeah. And it's from the feedback from guests that really validate, like, I went to Getaway and I had this conversation with my partner I didn't even know I needed to have, or I got to play cards with my daughter for the first time, or I decided to quit my job and I didn't even know I wanted to quit my job. Ooh. or whatever, you yeah. know, or we actually got to celebrate, you know, for once in a
long
time.
And they're sharing, this is the feedback yeah. they're giving you is, yeah, that's it was right. great and I decided to quit my job.
And so that's
don't worry,
you know,
Sarah, I will be in.
It's not always that dramatic,
don't
of
put
course,
ideas
but,
in there.
But, you know, it's, yeah.
And is it also a small, you said a coat hook, is that also is the kind
that's
of theory that you guys are?
The way we think about design, and maybe this gets a little esoteric, but we're all suffering from decision fatigue all the time, right? Every time, like trying to pick dinner, you know, it's like, let me open Yelp and go
that's
through
why
1,500
I can't do
options.
It's too many decisions. Just,
you, right. know. You know what? Right. My favorite is on my birthday, that's all I want, is I ask for the day to make no decisions.
That's it, right?
Yeah. That's all I want. I don't want to decide what yeah. we go. I don't want to decide what I eat. Yep. I just want no decisions. It's the best.
And that's how we think about our design for Getaway is, you know, we're a little bit different than the normal tiny houses you see on cable TV or whatever, insofar as that you're only in our spot for a night or two nights, maybe three nights, and we just want everything to work so you don't have to think about a thing, you know, whether that be finding it, you know, getting out of the city, getting there, but also where do I hang my coat? Where do I stick my duffel bag? We just want to strip everything away so you don't have to do anything, such that you can sit by the campfire and zone out, relax, kick back.
Do you find that your customers are getting away with their loved ones? Or are they getting away from their loved ones?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a little bit of everything, actually. And, you know, I know there's danger in saying your customer is everybody, which isn't what I'm saying. But, you know, we thought it would be all millennial hipsters, 20 and 30 somethings who live in the city and that whole thing. And that's probably the bulk of what we get, maybe 50%. The bulk are couples. We had 51 engagements last year.
Wow.
That we were told about,
that's
which is
adorable.
Really heartwarming.
Yeah.
But the range is everybody. It's retirees who, you know, want to get back to nature. And we get these notes. You have to be 18 to stay at Getaway. And we get these notes from kids in high school that say, we're 17, but we'll be really good. <You know? laughs> And so it is. And we get people that go alone to, you know, read and write and reflect and get back in touch with themselves, and then we get families and groups of friends. So it's not everybody, but it's, you know, it is those of us who are feeling a little bit overwhelmed and overconnected and burned out by I guess the digital age, I would call it.
Can you talk about the Germany? How did this idea come to you? Were you burnt out and you just thought, I need a cabin in the woods?
That's pretty much it. My background is in startups, and I did a couple before this one, and then I was working remotely for a friend trying to figure out what is the next company I want to start, because I'd fallen in love with building companies, but I wanted to figure out what's something that I care deeply enough about to spend a decade or two of my life on. And while I was working remotely, I was traveling the West in this Airstream trailer that a friend of a friend had given me for who knows why. And on that trip, discovered tiny houses, and the light bulb sort of went off. And the light bulb was, maybe I can buy or build one of these things and stick it in the woods outside of Boston, where I was then living. And I don't want Wi-Fi. I don't want anyone around. I don't want anyone to bother me. It's you know, the city's nice and people are nice and technology's nice, but all of those things need to be escaped once in a while. So that was the first sort of business plan. And then the startup gene kicked in and said, well, maybe there's a business here. So we did a little pilot of three houses and got lucky in so far as it resonated with folks right away. And that was about 4 years ago. And we've been lucky to find some early success.
And right now you're primarily in the Northeast, D.C., New York, Boston.
Boston, New York, D.C. are open. We are under construction and announced for L.A. and Atlanta.
I imagine there is a market for that in those cities.
Yes.
Definitely.
I hope so. Otherwise, episode two will be much more somber.
You said you had a background in startups, and you also said you made a lot of mistakes at the beginning.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who might also be, you know, potential entrepreneurs, what kind of advice would you have for someone who has this sort of vision like you had as they're getting started?
It's always hard to answer that question without resorting to cliches, but cliches get that way because they're true a little bit. I mean, for me, it was no matter how many times I was told this, I had to really learn the lesson of do something. I needed to do something I cared about, at least directionally, right? Because you never know what these companies are actually going to be when you start them from at day zero. But I think you have to go in a direction that you care a lot about. And so for me, that was quit reading, you know, the TechCrunch blog post about like top 10 trends of, you know, the coming year, and instead like look a little bit more inside myself. What do I care about? What do I know a little bit about? So that was key. And then it's, you know, I do believe in the, you know, kind of get a minimum viable product out there. And in our case, that minimum viable product was, in retrospect, not that much money. Our pilot was three houses, but three houses costed money and we had to lease land and so forth. But we had to, you know, we had to do that to really validate, is this a thing people care about, are interested or not? And there's no substitute for making your first sale, making your first 10 sales, making your first 100 sales. Because for us, we were, you know, my co-founder and I were excited about this. But even though we're excited about it, we sort of recognized like we're not disrupting anything. Like these are cabins in the woods. They've been around for hundreds of years. And so there was a real question mark around, would we get any attention? Would people connect with what we were doing? And so getting out there early and trying to make that first sale mattered a lot and taught us a lot.
What surprised you most about the early stages?
Was there anything you just thought, oh, we're going to get away with this? Like,
This is...
Pun intended.
This is such right. such a... I hate saying CEO-y things because this is like the pitch answer, but I was truly surprised with how desperate people were to disconnect and recharge. And I'll try to add some meat on the bone by saying that wasn't our genius. Like, we didn't start the company saying this is all about balance, this is about wellness, this is about experience. We had some of that. We had some intuition that said, yeah, we don't really think, we don't want to use Wi-Fi at Getaway. But also, we had no idea how to provide it anyway. And so we had to spin the negative of there's no Wi-Fi in this place as a positive. And it was surprising how guests kind of played that back as thank you for not having Wi-Fi. And when I turned the last corner, my cell phone bars went down to one. And that was an amazing feeling. So that surprised us in a very happy way that allowed us to kind of double down on those instincts that were inside of us, but we hadn't fully put words to yet.
How different is this from your earlier ventures?
Pretty different. My other startup ventures were in consumer products. So I did a company called Breathable Foods, which had an inhaler that delivered particles to your mouth instead of your lungs, which was meant for vitamins, minerals, and supplements, although our main product ended up being an energy product, like a breathable Red Bull. And then I left that and I did a mobile app startup that was basically a video Yelp, for lack of a better term, because everybody was doing mobile apps. So this was a pivot for me, for sure, into real estate and hospitality, which I knew nothing about, and feel fortunate that I was able to, you know, get some folks that trusted I would figure it out, at least enough to survive. You know, and I'm grateful a little bit for the ignorance of that, right? I don't think this company would have been started by somebody who, you know, was dyed in the wool in real estate and hospitality, and that no doubt had its costs. And we had to learn some things that would have been obvious to a lot of other people. But those, you know, that one or two out of 10 things that, you know, that we did that they never would have done, I think provided a lot of value, you know, to our product and our customers.
I think that's cool because at the heart of this, you just have this desire to help people disconnect and recharge. So my question to you is, do you think of Getaway as, like, when you think of the future, is it more cabins in the woods or is it something else that also helps?
Yeah, for now it's more cabins in the woods. We've there's many things I love about our business, and there are also challenges. And one of the challenges of our business is it's a complex thing to do well. We're scouting real estate all over the country. We're hiring frontline teams. We're making sure that we build the right training materials and support them really well because we set a high bar for ourselves. When you check into your Getaway, as we talked about, I want everything to be perfect, and that's not just clean sheets and making sure the hot water works in the shower, but it's, you know, what is the angle of the pencil laying across the handwritten note card? Because we're just obsessed about how do we deliver this experience in a high quality and really consistent way, and that's hard to do. So so in the short term to medium term, it's more cabins and more places. And I, you know, my view is if we believe in what we're doing, which we do, then we need to bring this to a whole bunch of folks that, you know, I think it's not, what we're doing is not a niche fun thing to do. Hopefully it is fun and people enjoy it. But I've always thought of us more, you know, less like a hotel and less like an Airbnb and more like, you know, meditation, spa, you know, going to the spa, doing yoga, those other things that help you have more balance in your lives. And we don't just need that in Boston and New York and DC. We need that in a lot of places.
I love the stories of entrepreneurs who are just really good at starting companies, but get into these businesses. They're like, yeah, I don't know the industry. How are you? You're in hospitality or, you know, whatever
this is. Yeah.
Whatever this is, you're competing with spas and meditation places and anything that gives you that disconnect. How do you learn about that? You're not reading TechCrunch, as you said.
Yeah, trial and error and hiring smart, experienced people and being careful to hire people that have industry experience, but also are flexible enough to say this thing's a little bit different and a lot of what I know will be relevant, but some of it won't be relevant, and trying to figure out how to assemble that team that, you know, can prevent us from making, you know, the stupidest mistakes that industry veterans would know not to make, but also, you know, are open-minded enough to say, you know, we're doing something a little bit different here. For example, our hotel, our business looks like a hotel, and we're loath to call it a hotel because the use case is so different. A hotel is agnostic as to what you do. You can, you check in, you can order Chinese food, watch CNN, go down the street for a dinner. Getaway, we care a lot about what you do. We want you to do nothing. We want you to be bored. We want you to do this disconnect and recharge thing and get back in touch with yourself. And, you know, when we hire folks, we need some hotel and hospitality expertise, but we need them to get that idea. We sell direct. We only allow you to book a Getaway through our website, whereas every sort of hotel in the world basically sells through the OTAs, Priceline and Kayak and so forth. And my view pretty strongly is that if we did that, we would give up some margin, of course, but that's a distant second to what I think is more important, which is we lose control of the customer and their experience and our, you know, our conversation with them, which is part and parcel to delivering this thing I'm trying to deliver, which is not a bed in the woods, but a feeling of respite.
I was just going to ask, do you ever get away? Where's your favorite Getaway?
I do, but that's one of the downsides of starting the business is it's work for me. So
if you're there, you're just thinking, oh, this isn't quite right. I need to move
this. It's hundreds of notes. So I have now struck a deal with my boyfriend. So when we go, I get an hour. So we set a timer and he reads or does whatever he wants to do. And I make my obsessive notes and take photos of all the stuff. And then when the hour is up, we do the actual Getaway thing. So
you need to metaphorically put work in the box with your
phone.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. It's very difficult.
Maybe your notes should go in there.
Right. So, but we bought a camper van. We bought one of these. We bought a 1986 Volkswagen camper van with the pop top, which we don't use as much as we'd like to, but we use sometimes to get out of town.
As you expand, I keep thinking about, you guys know so much about your customer because you're listening directly to them. You're not, it doesn't sound like you're aggregating a whole bunch of data and you're tracking this and that. You're talking to them. They're sending you notes. How do you manage that as you get bigger?
That's a good question. that I don't have a great answer to, probably, besides to say that I want to make sure we hold on to that, that at some point it does get a little unwieldy, right? Like all of these feedback messages land in my inbox. So every morning I wake up to, you know, 60, 80 emails from guests, which I love, but as you rightly point out, that will become more. And so we're going to have to figure out how to make sure that that's remaining authentic and that we're still listening to our guests as we scale. But, you know, we did hire a branding strategy agency recently, and they've done a lot of good work. And so this isn't to knock them at all, but, you know, a lot of what they found when they actually, you know, surveyed our guests and talked to our guests in focus groups was not a surprise to us, because we read these messages every day. And not only do they land in my inbox, they're shared transparently with the whole company. So everybody sees everything. If we did something good, it shows up. If we did something bad, it shows up. I'm not cherry picking the good and the bad to call people out or praise them. And so that to me was such a positive sign that there wasn't, you know, this agency didn't go out and say, well, actually, you know what people are doing at Getaway? They're going there with their laptop and they're doing hundreds of emails or something. And we know that because we're in touch with them. So I don't know how we scale that, to be frank, but I'm loath to give it up without really thinking it through.
Yeah. Well, John, unfortunately, we are almost out of time. But before we go, we have one more segment we call Rapid Fire.
Okay. Oh, boy.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
He's shifting in his seat. All right. For this segment, we're going to ask you quick questions. Just answer what pops in your head. And we'll see where we go.
I'm going to have stress dreams about this later.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Jen, you want to take the first one?
Sure. What is your work pet peeve?
People being late and meetings running over on time and meetings not having agendas. Oof. Can I do all three of this?
Yeah. Where do you like to get away?
I grew up in northern Minnesota in a town of 54 people on the Mississippi River. So I like to go home.
You mentioned playlists. What's at the top of your, like, pump-up mix?
Waylon Jennings. I'm being laughed at.
What's the first thing you do when you get back from away?
I go through my email. I'm ashamed to say that, but that is it.
All right.
What's your must-see TV?
Lately, it's been Narcos, Saturday Night Live, Orange is the New Black.
What can you not travel without?
My laptop.
What is the last thing you geeked out over?
Airstream trailers.
Favorite holiday tradition?
Building a snowman.
One more?
Yeah.
Best part about living in New York?
New York has everything. I didn't think I would become a New Yorker, and now my friends are threatening to move away. And this is so not me. And I'm going, why would you move away? It doesn't make any sense. You can get literally anything. And the thing I love, if you do New York right, you have a great neighborhood, and then you have everything else.
And you get a getaway.
That's right. The worst part about New York is it is so hard to get in and out of this city.
True.
Please, Mr. Governor, Mr. Mayor, fix the subway, fix the airports. Can we turn your podcast into a political rally?
Sure. Yeah. As long as we can take the Amtrak back to D.C. at the end of the conference, I'm cool.
We're good.
Right.
All right, John, if someone wants to learn more about Getaway, where do they go?
www.getaway.house or find us on Instagram.
Great. Thank you for joining us, John.
Thank you. This was great.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Sarah.
For being here. This was fun.
Yeah, it was.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. If you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your colleagues about the show or give us a rating on your podcast app. Have a great day.